Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, verses 26. Oh, sorry. It's actually, thank you, Sai. He said what chapter, because I didn't say the chapter. It's Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 26. So 26, 26, we're going to go through 29. So Matthew 26, 26 through 29. If you'd like to listen to the word, you can just sit and receive and hear it. If you'd like to read along the screens, you're welcome to do so, or as well, read along in your own Bibles. Let's hear the word together. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God, and together we say, thanks be to God. Now, some of you who are been around the church for a while may recognize this, right? It's Communion Sunday, and we just read a Communion Sunday passage, right? We even quote this scripture when we come to the table, right? This is the moment right before Jesus' betrayal, right before he's taken to the cross, before his death and resurrection. He sits with the disciples at this table, and he has this moment. Right? And this is one, a pinnacle moment, one we believe is very important in the church. We believe this is one of two instituted things of grace, right? Where this is where Jesus calls us to this table, right? And he calls us to baptism. These are kind of two things we hold dear as instituted by Jesus. So important is it that we feel like it is important that we continue to come to this table throughout the year, right? This isn't just something we celebrate on Easter Sunday, but this moment is something we celebrate throughout the whole life of the church, throughout the whole year. And the reason I think it's important is because of what it reminds us. Well, there's lots of reasons why it's important, but one of the main reasons it's important is it reminds us of our need for forgiveness, which is something that I think we lose track of in the church. And quite frankly, it's easy to lose track of in the busyness of life, because thinking about forgiveness is never an easy task, is it? Do you ever just think about forgiveness lightly? Hell, anytime you think of forgiveness, it gets to here, right? It gets to the core of like something that's happening in your life. So many times when we talk about forgiveness, when we talk about our need for forgiveness, it stirs up the harder things to think about. And I would say that many times, probably those harder things, I'm going to broadly kind of combine it into two categories, if you'd give me that liberty. Lots of times I think we struggle with the idea of forgiveness for one of two reasons. The first, what I would say, is probably it's hard when we think about forgiveness because it instills in us some ideas of shame and guilt. When we think about forgiveness, many times we may be led to our own tendencies to feel shame and guilt, maybe about something that we've done in the past, maybe about some things we have gotten wrong, maybe about how we may perceive what other people think of us, right? Some of us have those things that we've done in the past that we are trying and fighting to let go of, but they continue to haunt us. Some of us just wake up feeling that we just don't measure up. And there's not necessarily much behind that, but just the feeling itself, feeling that we have not lived up to what we are supposed to be. So when we think about shame and guilt, right, lots of times it makes forgiveness feel unreachable. I think the other side to that is sometimes when we think about forgiveness, we think of it as something we don't necessarily need to do. I'd put this in the arrogance camp. I live a pretty good life. I do pretty well. I attend Sunday worship. I work hard. Come home. I've got nothing. People wrong me. And lots of times we just think about forgiveness really from a sense of superiority. I don't really have any much to be forgiven for. I don't really have a lot that I do wrong. Forgiveness is kind of like, I don't really need to think about forgiveness because I don't really need forgiveness. Amen. Spoiler alert for the sermon. Right? And so we come at it from kind of this place of, I think, arrogance. That we have it messed up majorly. Lots of other people have done worse to us. Lots of other people are doing worse in the world. They need to be forgiven. I'm pretty good, right? The trick of it is how do you talk about forgiveness that doesn't play into this dynamic of arrogance or shame? Right? Because arrogance and shame is really just abundant in the world. We see a whole bunch of arrogant people taking advantage of people who are feeling shame and guilt and justifying their position of authority over them to tell them what to do, to treat them less, to not value their life as much, right? We see this dynamic at play in the world. When people feel shame and guilt about who they are, they believe they deserve to be treated not as equals, but as less. And people who don't think that they need to ask for forgiveness tend to elevate themselves and continue to elevate themselves over people that they see as being worse. And we see that dynamic play out in the world over and over, creating a culture and a systems of wounding and injustice and brokenness that feels inescapable at times. We're in the middle of it. But I think the question we need to ask when we come to this table, because this is the table we're at, is the message of forgiveness at this table the same as the message of shame or arrogance in the world? Is this a table that instills shame? Is this a table that instills superiority? Hierarchy over the other, lessening of some to elevate the few? Is that table we come to? We've been walking through the Apostles' Creed, and we're taking it step by step. And in the Apostles' Creed, we've just walked through what it means to be the church. So we're going to say it together. Remember, we're saying it line by line as we work through it. So let's say it together now. Let's remember what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. In order to understand what we believe, the forgiveness that is happening at this table, we have to remember what comes before it. And what comes before it in the creed is the gospel. That we cannot understand forgiveness without the message of the gospel that is found in Jesus. More so, we cannot understand the church, as we've just explored the last two Sundays, the communion of saints, right? The holy church. We cannot understand the holy church and the communion of saints without the caveat of understanding forgiveness. That what a part of the body means being rooted in the forgiveness that we find in the gospel. And what we find in the gospel, if we'll remember together in the creed, is the fullness of God's love being incarnated in Christ. That the Creator over all things become unified with creation in order to instill a message of God's mercy to us. Jesus brings us to the table because we have to be reminded, before we get to forgiveness, we have to be reminded of the body. And I don't mean the church in this moment. I mean the church finds its understanding of being the body by the fullness of Christ's body coming to earth. Jesus brings to the table, he breaks the bread, he says, "This is my body," as a reminder to say the fullness of God found in Christ, made incarnate, came present, that we know the fullness of who God is and who God calls us to be by the way, the witness, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even before the body is broken, we recognize that the fullness of God is found in Christ. But not just so much the fullness. That fullness came to dominate in superiority and shame and guilt. No. The fullness of Christ came to be broken in full service, in love, and in care. The body of Christ was broken. And then he says, "And this is my blood poured out for you." That the fullness came in not domination, not out of being less than creation and needing creation. No, the fullness of God, who had all the right to be, is over and does not need to serve, came in the form of a servant in love. And then it moves to the forgiveness of sin. What we find in the message right here, at this moment, the place that we're supposed to draw near to, this place that we're supposed to surround ourselves as the church, is that our understanding of forgiveness is rooted in abundant love. Abundant acceptance and a desire for God to make us whole. That the body was broken and the blood was poured out. The worst that humanity have to offer was on display. And yet God was greater. God was bigger. And no matter how we may miss the mark, which is our understanding of sin, not a thing of shame and guilt, not a thing of arrogance. No, it is saying that we are people who are not yet what God has created us to be. That we do miss the mark, but even when we miss the mark, God has already forgiven. The forgiveness of God is already present, already there, waiting for us to accept it. My favorite thing about this table, it is where divine will meets human freedom. I'm going to say that again. The table is where the divine will of God and human freedom meet. And what we find in the gospel of Jesus is the will of God will be accomplished, but it will be accomplished in love. And that we, as the church, are called to humble ourselves in our arrogant ways, but not to believe in the shame and the guilt that holds us in bondage, but to, in our free will, accept the freedom that Christ has given. Sometimes the simplest truths are the most profound. And the reason they're the most profound is we can spend a lifetime trying to wrap our understanding of what it means. And anyone who does the work of faith knows that it is in the simple truths that we find the Spirit of God, but it is in those simple truths we will spend a lifetime exploring. And it is at this table of compassion and forgiveness and grace, the divine will of God being accomplished in love in the midst of our human freedom, that we will spend a lifetime seeking to understand. And that our job as the church is to root ourselves in that understanding of forgiveness, a forgiveness that is empowering, that is all loving, a forgiveness that walks beside us, not in front of us, not behind us, but right beside us. That this is a place where we can admit that the simplest truths that can spend a lifetime of exploring are wrapped up in a divine mystery. And at this divine mystery, at this table, the presence of God is real. That God meets us in this space. And the second part of this is to recognize that this table not only shows us the body of Christ, but what we are called to be as the Holy Church, what we are called to be as the communion of saints. Because it says for the forgiveness of sins, but Matthew is full of themes of forgiveness. The disciples come to him and say, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my neighbor? 7 times? No, 70 times 7, says Jesus. Jesus goes and he says to the people following him, he says, the forgiveness of God is at hand, but if you don't forgive your neighbor, you are separating yourself from the forgiveness of the Father that is present. That our forgiveness is enraptured in a life of grace, both received and extended. That in the table of forgiveness is not just an acceptance for the places of shame that we have, the places where we need to be humbled and remember that we are on a journey, that we are not perfected yet, but that there is yet to be a cup shared. Jesus says, until final victory, I will share this cup with you again. It will be complete, but that work is ongoing. I leave you now, I will be with you again when the work is done, but I am empowering you in this space to be made whole in forgiveness. You receive and extend. And as you do that, you are made whole to the image of God. This is a table where we are grateful for the blood that was poured out and the cup that is to be shared. And the beautiful thing is, in the midst of that work of God that reigns eternal through Christ, and that work yet to be completed, somehow in a divine mystery, we experience the full of this here at the table. We receive the pardon of God that is abundantly shared, and we extend the cup of forgiveness to all, not just in this room, but to the world. this is an open table, we believe. And that really is just to say that all who are willing to repent, to receive that love, to receive that forgiveness, all who are seeking to know Christ, to journey with Christ, are welcome at this table. There's no membership, no nothing that will separate you from this table. You are welcome here in Lazarus. But as we come to this table, we come with that spirit of forgiveness. And so I want to ask you, church, and the places of guilt and shame and the places of arrogance where you have ignored, where you may need to grow, do you accept the freedom and the grace that Christ abundantly shares with you? If you do, say, I do. And as you come to this table, do you commit to sharing that, not just with the people in this room, but extend that same love and forgiveness to allow it to show in you a new way, a new image, a new life with all that you encounter? If you do, say, I do. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for today. We thank you that your forgiveness is not one that comes with a caveat, but Lord, with abundance and care, with compassion and love, for the sake of justice. God, we pray that as we come to this table, Lord, and we receive the forgiveness that is abundantly present, Lord, that you might create in us new hearts, that you might transform us by your Spirit to be your people in this world. So we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, that you would make them be for us the body of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with each other, one with you, and one in ministry to the whole world until you come in vital final victory and we share that cup again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.